Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
Joe Ostrowski is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. He always joins us as part of our Football Fridays. Brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And presented by your local Ford dealers and It's Not a Game, Illinois. .com. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, and Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Getting ready for another full weekend of football. And I got to tell you, I know we'll start with Bears here. There was immediate line movement, not since Sunday night, not a ton, but it was funny. So they make point spreads on every game before the season starts. And after the games were a wrap, late afternoon, they put a number on the Bears and the Texans. Okay. And it was the same number they had preseason, which was the Texans favored by only 3.5. And then once that got out there and people realized exactly how the Bears won, the bettors came in heavy. Like, no, this is wrong. This is going to be much closer to 6.5 and 7. That's where we went. It was up there for maybe an hour. And then it went from 3.5 to 6. 6.5. That's where we're at right now. It wouldn't surprise me if we get to a touchdown by game time on Sunday night, because what happens is a lot of people bet money line parlays. They just pick the winner of all these games. And then there ends up being a lot of liability for people that have some good tickets going on the Texans side. So it might be Texans -7. In this one, but yeah, that 3.5 did not last once people realized, whoa, that was a pretty fluky result. Maybe the flukiest result that we're going to see all year, the Bears winning the way that they did.
Joe, but knowing what you know and knowing it was week 1 and we all overreact, I mean, where are you on this with the overreaction from those results affecting what bettors do the following week?
Yeah, I mean, this is the big week where you're seeing overreaction all over the board. So there was some chatter in the offseason. Oh, maybe the Panthers aren't that bad. Oh, no, they're worse. They might be worse.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're that bad. They're that bad.
The Chargers went from a 3.5-point favorite to a 6.5-point favorite, and they're traveling across the country. And we don't even really know what the Chargers are at this point, but people are like, no, there's no chance. I'm going to go against them. A lot of overreaction. So Kansas City, Cincinnati looks terrible. We don't know about Burrow's wrist. That line goes from 3 to 5.5, 6-point range. So yes, there is definite overreaction. If you bet against the overreaction, a lot of times you're going to end up being profitable. Jordan Love injury. Like, the betting market is telling us that Jordan Love is worth 7, 8, 9 points. No, he's not. We're not even that sure. We're not even positive what he is, if they should have paid him as much. He put together one hell of a half of a season, but the Packers went from a 5-point favorite to now, okay, Love is out, Willis is in. Now the Colts are favored by 3 at Lambeau Field. So yeah, it's the biggest overreaction week of the season.
What are the prop numbers for some individual stats telling us about Bears-Texans?
Yeah, so the thing is, you want to look at receivers because there's so much uncertainty that if Keenan's out, if Rome's out, DJ Moore's going to be the play because he's going to get all the targets. But they're smart enough, they're waiting until we get final word. You could get DJ Moore 2-1 for an anytime touchdown there, but as far as receptions, receiving yards, they're holding off on that until we get word on the other guys. Caleb Williams, he's a favorite to throw an interception. He's -155. After going sub-100 in game one, they put the passing yards at 216.5 in this one. 37.5 attempts, I believe low 20s in the completions. On the Stroud side, they put it at 263.5 yards. They have a great group of receivers.
Wow.
But also that's the strength of that Bears defense, the secondary that they have.
So I also think on that 216 number, The way I would look at that is everybody who would think the Bears are going to be trailing and the Texans might be comfortable midway through the third, and he's facing a shell defense that is allowing things underneath to allow them to rally up in chunks of 12 and 8 and 14, it's pretty easy to get to that number even if the Bears are outclassed.
Yeah, and if that's the game script we're dealing with, we could also get to the over, which I could certainly see here. I have questions about the Texans' secondary. Now, Stingley's great, but they're starting two rookies back there. And last week in the opener, Anthony Richardson had three 50-plus-yard pass completions.
I'd say he blew the top off of their defense, but I don't think there was a top. He was just throwing off his back foot to the, I mean, come on.
Bombs, just bombs. Now, yeah, if Caleb completes one of those, the city's going to go crazy. But I think we could end up seeing more points in this one. And if we get word that a couple of receivers are out, Dalton Schultz has also not been practicing for the Texans. Maybe that total comes down a little bit. So 45.5 going over that could be an interesting look.
When you look at the college slate, what jumps out to you? I mean, I know it's not the most illustrious group pairing of teams, but from a bettor's angle, you can just pick and choose.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad weekend. It might be one of those Saturdays where, you know, once we get into conference play next week, you're going to want to be in front of your TV. But yeah, there's not a lot of great matchups. The ones that do have my attention, you've got Alabama visiting Wisconsin. That's 16.5. I don't think the Badgers are going to be able to score enough to hang with Alabama there. So I could see that one being a route. Florida State's back in action. You know, last year they go undefeated. They're mad they don't make the playoff, and then they start 0-2 this year with DJU. They're a 6.5-point favorite. The pros were betting them early on in the week. It went from 5 up to 6.5. They are hosting Memphis. That's interesting. How does Notre Dame respond after what happened last week? They're still a now double-digit favorite at Purdue, and it looks like Riley Leonard is injured. I don't know if quarterback play could possibly get worse for the Irish.
Yeah, I was going to say that may not be a bad thing as watching him perform.
Right. The number's gone down a little bit. A lot of spots going down to 9.5 there. And anytime Deion's a favorite, I want to go the other way. So Deion's favored by 7. Against rival now Colorado State. Remember, they got into it with the head coach last year, but a lot of people betting Colorado State +7, +7.5. So there are a few interesting matchups as far as that goes.
I think for me, knowing that the college slate is bad, and you're looking at the NFL, is there a specific game that like really has you salivating come Sunday?
I want to Chiefs Bengals.
Yeah, well, that's probably everybody, right? Like, it's Joe Burrow against the Chiefs, and he's been kind of their, I guess, the closest thing to a weak spot for Andy Reid and company, right?
Yeah, for sure, and you don't ever want to go against Andy Reid when he has extra time to prepare, and that is certainly the situation here. Burrow with the rest, we don't know. But what we do know is, yes, Burrow's not scared to go into Arrowhead and perform well. He's had some ridiculous games. Chase had a 3-touchdown game against them in the past. He's great as an underdog, but the problem is the Bengals are terrible in the first 2 weeks of the season. With Burrow, they are 1-8 straight up in the first 2 weeks. So for some reason, Zach Taylor is not getting this team to prepare to play from the outset. We saw that last week, losing to the Patriots. Not a whole lot of people were predicting that one, but anytime you're giving Joe Burrow 5.5, 6 points, can he make it a one score game? Yeah, I think so. We were a half of a toe from the Chiefs losing the opener against the Ravens, and the Ravens had their issues throughout that game. So I think they can hang. It doesn't look like T. Higgins is going to be available, though, so that could hurt Cincinnati.
I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you right now, but I'm curious, like we talk about these one-game overreactions, when we look at some of the longer-term futures plays, like NFC North, for example, with all that we know, obviously the Lions are really good. The Packers are an unknown. The Vikings looked like they were better than many expected. I've been asking, was that the surprise team of the week? And the Bears won while not looking all that great. What are the expectations for this division as it stands now?
There were some really smart bettors that I pay attention to that move the Vikings more in their power rankings than anybody else in the NFL.
Wow.
Rufus Peabody is one of the best NFL bettors out there, and he has the Massey Peabody rankings that you can look up. He moved Minnesota from number 19 up to number 6.
What?
Why?
Yes, I know. It looks like an overreaction.
No, I'm actually asking why. Somebody's like, wait a sec, I thought Sam Darnold was bad, and now Sam Darnold is good?
Yeah, and they have the receivers. It's really about the defense. There's a lot of trust in that defense that they can hang around. The NFC North is fascinating because with the Jordan Love injury, the Bears move to the second favorite. They slot up there. The odds are about the same, but they move up to the second favorite. They win their first game. And then this question about the Love injury and then the Vikings look good, they have the same odds to win the division. They are both 6-1, the Vikings and the Packers. And then LaFleur's out there this week saying, hey, you know what? I'm not ruling anything out. Jordan Love could play without practicing. Doubt it's going to happen this week, but they didn't put him on IR. So maybe it's not 3 to 6 weeks. Maybe Jordan Love returns quicker than expected. If you go for the make the playoff odds in the NFC North, the longest shot of the four teams is the Packers, 2-1. Lot of overreaction involving Green Bay, and we really don't know what's going to happen with this injury.
I have a question about this overreaction thing, right? Because we talk about after 1 week, the sample size is so small. But guess what? After week two, the sample size is really small as well. So how much could a team that, you know, played better than expected last week, doing the same thing this week, how could that affect how we look at that team? I'm so interested in just the nuance of it all.
These markets move so much, and they put everything back up, all the Super Bowl, conference, division, win total odds up. So what's going to be the big talking point on Monday morning? The teams that are 0-2. How hard it is to make the playoffs when you're 0-2. And so that's going to be tough. We're going to see those numbers move a ton. And you're right. Two games is a small sample size. It could have been a tough schedule. A lot of people like the Falcons in the offseason. So they lose to Justin Fields in week one. And then what do the Falcons have now? They've got on Monday night the Eagles. Then I think it's the Chiefs after that. So we could easily be sitting there, the Falcons 0-3 to start the season. And they're the most talented team in the division, most likely. With so much football left, you'll probably get a good number on them to win the division still.
Hmm. Joe Ostrowski, have a successful weekend at what you do, and thanks much as always.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.